This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, it's Donna Marie Doherty with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, the Sinn Féin chief whip has highlighted the lack of a commitment in the programme for government for 100% redress for those impacted by the defective concrete block scandal. A teen victim of the Omagh bombing was remembered at the inquiry today. A new study found people in Northern Ireland are still experiencing trauma linked to paramilitary activity almost 27 years on from the Good Friday Agreement. And a High Court judge in the North has ruled members of a specialist British military unit who shot dead four IRA men in an ambush used lethal force that was not justified. These stories in full, plus more to follow. Mark Gallagher will also be bringing us all the latest in sport at around a quarter past five, and Chris Ashmore has the latest farming news and views, and that will be on after the obituary notices. First up in news, the Sinn Féin chief whip has highlighted the lack of a commitment in the programme for government for 100% redress for those impacted by the defective concrete block scandal in the North West region. Donegal Deputy Padraig McLaughlin says the government must support those who've been impacted to rebuild their lives, as has been seen in the pyrite scheme in Dublin and North Leinster. It's off the back of parliamentary questions he submitted. Deputy McLaughlin is urging the government to do the people of Donegal justice in the upcoming IS 465 review.
What was the number of families in Dublin and North Leinster who up to date have availed of the pyrite remediation scheme? And the answer is almost 3,000 families. I asked what the contribution they had to make towards that was, and the answer was none. And that is right and proper. They were victims of a scandal, and they have been rightly compensated and their homes made safe by the state. In my home county of Donegal, many families will pay over €100,000 to make their homes safe. They get a grant scheme. They do not get redress. They do not get justice. They get a grant scheme. They have to go out and make a square peg fit into a round hole. They have to find contractors, and the prices that they've been giving in the grant never matches up to what it will actually cost. They have to replace their own foundations if the house has been knocked down. What has happened is the vast majority of affected homeowners are giving up. Are we at the situation now that you get justice, but only if it costs a certain amount of money? And what we've asked for is basic decency, that every Irish citizen who was failed by the no regulation, light touch regulation, close relationship between the state and the construction industry, particularly those who manufactured concrete blocks and concrete products. So I'm asking again, there's a plan for a review of the scheme. Please do justice, give equality to people no matter where you live. If you're a victim, you get the same treatment no matter where you live in Ireland.
A teen victim of the Omagh bombing was remembered at today's hearing of the inquiry. 17-year-old Samantha McFarland died alongside her best friend Lorraine Wilson after being evacuated from the charity shop where they were working. 29 people were killed in the Rail IRA car bomb in 1998. Paul Greerney, counsel to the inquiry, read out a witness statement earlier about Samantha.
Samantha's funeral took place at the Church of the Holy Trinity, where she was described as popular and diligent, and a person who passed with flying colours the test of life, despite being denied the opportunity to pass the milestones like her A-levels and her driving tests, as many teenagers her age would aspire to do.
A new study has found young people in Northern Ireland are still experiencing trauma linked to paramilitary activity almost 27 years on from the Good Friday Agreement. The survey also shows 6 in 10 adults say they had at least one traumatic event in their childhood. Northern Ireland Justice Minister Naomi Long says the results of research represent a major public health challenge.
We hear it said all the time, high levels of alcohol and drugs misuse in Northern Ireland, high levels of complex trauma and mental health issues. And we see that being replicated generation to generation. What this report does is lift the lid and look at why that's the case. And it's clear that it's because of the impact of paramilitarism and troubles-related harms in our community. And that is passed from generation to generation. We all know that as adults, many of us were exposed to things that most young people would never have seen in terms of even the violence we witnessed on our television screens. But we would have expected after the Good Friday Agreement, and with all of the peace that we've had in place since, that wouldn't be replicated now in a younger generation, and yet it is.
A High Court judge in the north has ruled members of a specialist British military unit who shot dead four IRA men in an ambush used lethal force that was not justified. The provisional IRA members were killed in Clonoe, County Tyrone in 1992, minutes after they carried out a gun attack on Coal Island RUC station. Mr. Justice Humphreys says the soldiers didn't have honest belief the action was necessary to prevent loss of life. The boil water notice on the Glenties Ardrab public water supply in Donegal has been lifted with immediate effect. Uisce Éireann has confirmed that following consultation with the HSC, which has been sampling the supply, customers on the supply can now resume normal use of the water there. Meanwhile, Eyre says the vast majority of issues caused by the storm have been rectified. Michaela Clark has more.
The boil water notice had been issued on Friday, January the 24th, due to deterioration in the raw water quality caused by power cuts during Storm Éowyn. Meanwhile, Eyre says almost all confirmed faults caused by Storm Éowyn in Donegal have been rectified. The communications network says this storm ranks among the most significant weather events to impact Ireland's telecommunications infrastructure in recent decades, affecting all counties across the country. As of today, around 25,897 homes and businesses in Donegal have been reconnected, accounting for 99% of the confirmed faults. Out of approximately 70 mobile sites initially affected by the storm across Donegal, the vast majority have been recovered since last week.
Well, a cyclist has been injured after swerving to avoid several fallen trees on the line pathway linking Derry and Donegal. Councillor Aisling Hutton says she first reported the hazard days after Storm Éowyn, but is now reiterating her call for the trees to be removed after a man sustained leg injuries and his bicycle damaged. Councillor Hutton says she understands, though, that overhanging trees must be prioritised.
We have had a lot of fallen trees and overhanging trees up here and the area that I represent around the Murward and other areas around Derry. So council have been prioritising the ones that are most risky, like trees that are overhanging that could possibly fall. So I've been speaking with council this morning and they had explained the process of the urgency in some of the matters, and I have highlighted about this gentleman's accident on the line yesterday. So I've been assured that the contractor will be taking a look at that and trying to get the debris removed as soon as ever possible.
Have they been able to give you a timeline, and is there a commitment that all the debris will be removed?
Yes, so they had spoken with the contractor this morning who was actually at another job at here in Derry as well, where there was overhanging trees, and he assured them that he would be at this job tomorrow and hopefully the debris will be lifted before the end of the day tomorrow. So my appeal really is for members of the public just to try and avoid that area or be careful if they are in and around that area. Council are trying to get to that as soon as possible, but I suppose for the gentleman that has been injured, wishing him all the best and a speedy recovery as well. But I have been in touch with him and I have assured him that I will speak on his behalf in relation to it all.
The six councillors in the Donegal Municipal District are urging Education Minister Helen McEntee to become involved in the discussion on the future of the Donegal Education Centre in Donegal Town. The centre is due to relocate to Letterkenny at the end of next month, following what the management committee says was a comprehensive consultation with teachers across the county. However, the extent of that consultation is being questioned by Councillor Jimmy Brogan, one of the signatories of the letter. Speaking ahead of a public meeting on this day week, he says six local jobs could be lost as a result of the proposal, and it's important that the local community has its say on the centre's future.
The Donegal Education Centre has a massive amount of support locally. We had a couple of meetings ourselves just to set things up, like, you know, and just with our Facebook, you know, doing Facebook posts and the petition that we put out, we know there's plenty of support out there for the centre to remain in Donegal Town. It's important that the public get their voice on it as well, like, you know, so that's why we've arranged a public meeting, so it's on, as you say, next Thursday evening in Donegal Town. We're hoping we get a good crowd there, with the staff will be there, they'll be fit to explain their situation, like, you know, and how things have worked out for them, give a better explanation of how things are going on generally, you know, and we're hoping we get the support of the public and the support of all the elected representatives around the county, really, like, you know, but especially the ones that represent the area here in certainly at all. You know.
One of the key elements of the letter that you drafted is a call on Education Minister Helen McEntee to become directly involved. Your argument is that one of her predecessors, Niamh Branagh, was the person that designated Donegal Town as the location for this centre. This location was decided at ministerial level. Your belief is it can only be changed at ministerial level.
We've been in touch with Helen McEntee and we're waiting for a response from her now, like, you know. But as I say, like, we don't think it's right that 13 people on a committee should decide this. You know, it's a big decision that should be made at least by the teaching members, like, you know, because every teacher has a right to be on making these decisions, like, you know. But the decision was made by a small number of people on a committee. It's too big a decision to be made by a small number of people. You know, the minister should be involved in these decisions and the department should be involved in these decisions.
The price of a pint of Heineken and its other products will increase by 6 cents later this month. Publicans have been told of an increase of 2.8% that will take effect from February 24th. Pat Crotty, CEO of the Vintners Federation of Ireland, says breweries need to be careful to not price themselves out of the market.
You'd hope that the brewers would be very aware of the personal circumstance of your average customer when they're looking at taking price increases, because there are publicans who are at €5 for a pint and there are publicans who are at just under six for the likes of lagers. And when you start tipping over into the next euro, people start turning the note over in their hand before they've parted it.
The Taoiseach says he is committed to a register for domestic violence offenders, despite the measure not being included in the programme for government. The measure, nicknamed Jenny's Law after murder victim Jenny Poole, had previously been supported by now Justice Minister Jim O'Callaghan. Amid reports the idea has been dropped by government, Taoiseach Simon Harris indicated the coalition would go about it in a different way.
And within that is a very sensible proposal, in my view, in relation to how you get to the domestic violence register. I do know Minister O'Callaghan is very committed to addressing the important issue and making sure that there are effective measures in place so that the Gardaí can issue confidential warnings to persons who may be at risk in an intimate relationship. That's ultimately the aim of what needs to be achieved. Work is ongoing in the Department of Justice and I know engagement will take place on this.
The time is just now approaching 12 minutes past five. We're going to go to a short break and have sports right after. It's 5:15 here on Highland Radio. Mark Gallagher's at the sports desk.
Thanks, Donna Marie. Good evening. We'll start with soccer. Tottenham manager Ange Postecoglou believes his young squad are ready to deal with the heat of a semi-final at Anfield. They take a 1-0 lead to Liverpool in the second leg of their EFL Cup clash tonight. A place in the final against Newcastle is up for grabs and Postecoglou is excited by what his team can become.
People kind of dismiss the fact that it is such a young group, that a lot of them are doing things for the first time, that... But I see that as a positive. The more we expose them, the more we put them in these situations, the greater the growth will come from the group when we're further down the tracks.
Manchester United manager Ruben Amorim says he took the decision to not pursue transfer targets in January for fear of making mistakes. With the team languishing in 13th place in the Premier League, many fans were disappointed by the window shutting without any major additions. Meanwhile, Marcus Rashford and Anthony both left Old Trafford. But Amorim says it's important they take the time with rebuilding the squad.
Everybody here don't want to make the same mistakes that we did in the past. So we have to improve the players that we have and to win some games. And then we are being really careful with the wheel transfers because we did some mistakes in the past.
United have also confirmed that Lisandro Martinez suffered a cruciate knee ligament injury against Crystal Palace on Sunday, ruling him out for the rest of the season. Leicester boss Ruud van Nistelrooy insists he wasn't blindsided by their planned approach to the January transfer window changing dramatically. The Dutchman was appointed at the start of December and said he would have cash to spend, but only Woyo Koulibaly was added to their squad. Van Nistelrooy admits things changed, but says he has been a part of the conversations.
The idea was that there were certain possibilities, but when really the numbers came on the table, it turned out to be different and we had to reassess. And the only thing, of course, the addition is Koulibaly and we go on with this squad.
In Gaelic games, tonight's second Sigurdsson Cup semi-final between DCU and holders Ulster University gets underway at 8 p.m. in Breffni Park in Cavan. UCD await the winners as they defeated TU Dublin on penalties in the first semi-final last night. In darts, world champion Luke Littler must not be treated like a baby, according to his opponent Michael van Gerwen. The pair meet tonight as the Premier League season begins with a replay of January's world final. 18-year-old Littler overslept yesterday, meaning he was 45 minutes late for a media event that left his rivals waiting for a group photo. Van Gerwen was not impressed.
It's not a baby anymore, it's 18 years old now. You have to learn the hard way. It's a professional sport. If he turns up late for an interview, I don't really mind. But now seven other people was waiting for him, so that's not really nice, is it?
In rugby, Matthew Jalibert will start at out half for France in their Six Nations clash with England in the absence of the suspended Roman Tamak. Damien Penno returns to the fold as well. The winger missed their opening round win over Wales due to injury. England coach Steve Borthwick has confirmed a first start for Finn Smith at fly half in Twickenham this weekend. Marcus Smith will be shifted to fullback. Ollie Slateholm comes in on the wing. Tom Willis is at number 8. The only change to the 15 that started in their opening weekend defeat to Ireland. In golf, Anna Foster is 3 shots off the lead and tied for 6th following her opening round at the Lala Merriam Cup on the Ladies European Tour. The Dubliner is 3 under in Morocco and is one of 3 Irish golfers making their debuts as card-carrying members of the tour. Cork's Sarah Byrne is a shot back on 2 under, while Annabelle Wilson is 2 over along with experienced pro Olivia Mahaffey. Lauren Walsh is on level par on day 1 with the American Brianna Navarossa setting the early pace on 6 under. In racing, this afternoon's race meeting at Thurles was abandoned due to an incident which required jockey Michael O'Sullivan to receive medical treatment. O'Sullivan was on board Wee Charlie in the second race of the day, but was one of 3 fallers at the final fence. The jockey was stabilised by the on-site medical team and transferred to Cork University Hospital by air ambulance. Finally, on the Score programme this evening after the 7 o'clock news, Oisin Kelly will get the feeling from inside the kingdom ahead of the Donegal-Kerry clash in Killarney this weekend. Plus, in our local soccer segment, we speak with Kildrum Tigers, Kilmacrenan Celtic and Alia FC ahead of their big fixtures this weekend. And we'll also catch up with Shane Byrne as his ATU Donegal side progressed to the Eustace Cup semi-finals yesterday. That's all coming up on the Score after the 7 o'clock news this evening. Back to you, Donna Marie.
Thanks, Mark. Having a look now to the weather forecast, dry and fine for the rest of the day in light to moderate southeasterly winds. It'll be dry, cold and clear tonight with widespread frost and a few icy patches, lows of -2 to +1 degrees in light easterly breezes. And just on that note, all routes of the Donegal winter maintenance programme will be treated from 7 o'clock this evening, and Donegal County Council's urging drivers to assume that no road is ice free. To conclude this evening's news, here's the headlines. The Sinn Féin Chief Whip has highlighted that the lack of a commitment in the programme for government to 100% redress for those impacted by the defective concrete block scandal in the northwest region. Donegal Deputy Padraig McLaughlin says government must support those who've been impacted to rebuild their lives, as has been seen by the pyrite scheme in Dublin and North Leinster. It's off the back of parliamentary questions he submitted. A teen victim in the Oma bombing was remembered at the inquiry hearing today. 17-year-old Samantha McFarland died alongside her best friend, Lorraine, after being evacuated from a charity shop they were working in. A new study has found young people in Northern Ireland are still experiencing trauma linked to paramilitary activity, almost 27 years on from the Good Friday Agreement. The survey shows 6 in 10 adults say they had at least one traumatic event in their childhood. Northern Ireland Justice Minister Naomi Long says the results of the research represent a major public health challenge. And finally, the boil water notice on the Glenties Ardra public water supply in Donegal has been lifted with immediate effect. Uisce Éireann has confirmed, following consultation with the HSE, which has been sampling supply, customers can now resume normal use. That's all for now from Highland Radio News. Chris Ashmore will have all the latest farming news and views after the obituary notices.
The obituary notice says for this Thursday evening, February the 6th, the death has occurred of Eunan Cahoon, Windmill View, Ross Gear, Lifford, County Donegal. Eunan will be reposing at Kelly's Funeral Home, Oakfield Raffoe, this evening from 7 o'clock to 10 o'clock and tomorrow from 12 o'clock until 6 o'clock. Family time, please, on the morning of the funeral. Funeral Mass will take place on Saturday in St Patrick's Church, Murlock, at 12 noon, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Funeral Mass can be viewed on clonleaparish.com. Donations in lieu if desired to St Joseph's Patient Comfort Fund at Stranorler, care of any family member or Kelly's funeral directors. The death has occurred of Rasha, Winnie Ferry, Collacrick and Agree. Rasha's remains are reposing at her own home until Rosary tonight at 8 o'clock and again tomorrow from 11 o'clock until Rosary at 8 o'clock. Funeral Mass on Saturday morning at 11 o'clock in the Star of the Sea Church, Annagry, with interment afterwards in Maharigallen Cemetery. The death has occurred of Mickey Joe McGinley, Ballynamann, Clohan, County Donegal. Mickey Joe's remains will arrive at the Church of Our Lady of Perpetual Succour Glenfinn this evening for reception prayers at 6:45. Reposing in the Chapel of Rest in the church until Rosary at 9 o'clock tonight and again tomorrow from 7 o'clock until Rosary at 9 o'clock. Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock on Saturday morning with interment afterwards in the family plot in Kiltievogue Cemetery. The death has taken place of Patrick Paddy MacDonald, Three Trees, Quigley's Point. Patrick's remains are reposing at his home. Funeral from there on Saturday morning at 10:15 for 11 o'clock funeral mass in Sacred Heart Church Muff, followed by interment in the adjoining graveyard. Funeral mass can be viewed live on mcnmedia.tv. Family time from 11 o'clock to 10 o'clock. The death has taken place of Elizabeth Lily Thompson, Naismith, Kiltoy, Letterkenny. Lily's remains will arrive at Conwell Parish Church this evening at 6:45 to repose overnight. Funeral service there tomorrow afternoon at 2 o'clock, followed by interment in New Lex Cemetery. The death has taken place of Mary Hegarty, Nate Gallagher, Mallinmore, Glencolum Kill. Remains reposing at her late residence at Mallinmore, Glencolum Kill, this evening from 6 o'clock to 9 o'clock and again tomorrow from 11 o'clock to 9 o'clock. House private pleas at all other times and on the morning of the funeral. Funeral mass at 11 o'clock on Saturday morning in St Columba's Church, Cashel, Glencolum Kill, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The funeral mass will be streamed on mcn.live. And the death has taken place of John Pat Kerr, Mean Ray, Rathmullen, reposing at his home until 10 o'clock tonight. Requiem mass tomorrow at 12 noon in St Catherine's Church, Auchterlin. Burial afterwards in Rathmullen Cemetery. Family time on the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only, donations if desired to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member or Patrick Sweeney funeral directors. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.
Hello, good evening and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Coming up, we'll hear more about a major land price survey. But first, a reminder that the annual general meeting of the Irish Natura and Hill Farmers Association Donegal Executive is being held in the Villa Rose Hotel in Balbafay tomorrow. That's the 7th of February at 8 p.m. Of note, there will be a presentation and discussion around animal diseases. The IFA Rural Development Chair John Curran has called on the Department of Agriculture to pull out all the stops to ensure that all outstanding acres payments are paid out as a matter of priority. He says that close on one in four acres participants are still waiting on their advanced 2024 acres payments, with some having only received the interim payments in February and March last. Meanwhile, the IFA Hill Farming Chair, Colleen Connolly, said that there are thousands of farmers across the country battling and dealing with the aftermath of last week's storm and the unforeseen additional costs that that has brought. Well, the Irish Farmers Journal Agricultural Land Price Report is a comprehensive analysis of the land market across the island. Now, in its 18th year, it shows that there was an increase of 5% in the price of land in the Republic of Ireland in 2024. The highest land prices were in Dublin, where the average was over €25,000 per acre, followed by Wexford, Meath, Louth and Leash.
The biggest increase in price was in County Meath, and the lowest average land price last year was in County Leitrim at €6,419 per acre, followed by Mayo and Donegal. To delve into matters a little further, Paul Mooney is the news correspondent with the Irish Farmers Journal. He's been telling me more. Paul, good to have you on. Firstly, maybe you can give us an overall snapshot of the report.
Yep, the background is that farmland prices at national level went up by a modest 5% on average and went up to around €12,500 per acre, €12,515 to be exact. And for the past maybe three or four years now, Chris, farmland prices have been at that level of around and about 12,000 per acre. So there's a little bit of a pausing for breath after a decade of growth, or maybe that you could say they've plateaued at that level for a while. So it just remains to be seen what will happen in this year, 2025 and 2026.
This land price report, in some ways it's a little bit like an opinion poll for a general election. It is a snapshot in time for where we're at now for the past year. But as you've mentioned there, when you look over a period of years, it does give you sort of a trend.
Absolutely. And of course, the selection, you know, the random selection of properties and farms that do come on sale each year is different. So that's one reason why price will, of course, vary from year to year between different counties and within any particular county.
And of course, the type of land and where it is has a big bearing on things. So with the average figures, how accurate do you think they are?
I think they're quite accurate for the year in question and just reflecting the properties that came on sale in any county in that particular year. But for example, you know, we would also report what would be the going rate for kind of good farmland in any particular county. And, you know, we'd see there that the kind of going rate, you know, for maybe the plainer kind of land in Donegal would be between 3,000 and 8,000 per acre. But then the good land, you know, the better land in the east of the county would be kind of good land would be selling for 12,000 to 16,000 per acre, you know. So and in any particular 1 year, your average will vary a bit up and down. The average there for 2024, just under 8,000 per acre.
Yeah, and the prices have fallen from recent highs in a number of counties, including Donegal.
Well, a very interesting, Chris, was that last year we saw prices easing back in some of the key dairy counties. Perhaps there's no surprise, because last year dairy farmers had a number of problems. They were coming out of a period of low milk prices and very, very high input costs. So they were being very tightly squeezed in margins. And they were also dealing, if you recall, 12 months ago, they were coming out of the wettest winter in living memory, wettest autumn and winter in living memory. So that was denting farmer confidence as well, you know. 12 months later, we're in a very different place.
Indeed. Now, the survey also looks at Northern Ireland, and being a border county up here, interesting just to note how matters are going there. The farmland prices there rising at a slightly higher rate.
Yes, I mean, and they have been rising quite sharply now for the past maybe 4 or 5 years. And I think an increase of about 7% this year. So the average farmland price across Northern Ireland would be over €17,000 in euros now per acre. So very well ahead of the average down in the south of €12,500 per acre. Highest prices would be in Armagh. Strong prices there, Chris.
And just looking at the Donegal in particular, the volume of transactions that you looked at, how many would you have taken into account?
We would have looked at about 90 to 100 farms that were offered for sale. So it's important to stress that they were every type of land possible, every possible type of land from mature forestry to forestry planting type land, and then right across the spectrum up to prime land for sale, you know. And we would be, you know, to calculate our prices, we'd be seeking the selling prices for farms that had sold before year end. We would have to exclude some, Chris, for example, if there was a small plot of 10, 15, 20 acres with a substantial house, a modern house, really we would exclude that, because in that case, it's the value of the house is driving the overall sale price. So it would distort, and, you know, the farm, it's not the price of the land really is relevant there, you know. So we would try and track the change in the price of farmland being bought by farmers for farming.
Yeah. So typically in Donegal, what sort of range are we talking about?
The range of selling price there last year would have been around 5,000 up to a top of 18,000. So I think in other recent years now, we'd have had higher selling, maximum selling prices of over 20,000 an acre, just where particularly fine properties, particularly fine farms, came on the market and sold. Less so this year.
Well, there's a lot of talk about housing at the moment. Quite a few properties may have derelict houses on them, and you know, that can influence the land sales. And also it depends, as you've noted, on the approach with your local authority and planning.
Absolutely. I mean, derelict houses have become one of the stories now over the past year or two. And because obtaining planning is so difficult, you know, in a rural area for a one-off house for a farmer's son or daughter, therefore there's great interest in buying a derelict house because it's seen as greatly increasing your chances of getting planning to rebuild, you know, to knock and rebuild. And a second factor, of course, is that there is the current refurbishment grant, which would help if you buy a derelict house and do that house up to live in, you know. So they're driving on the price, the values put on derelict houses. We would have seen cases, Chris, last year around the country where a derelict house on the edge of a farm was sold off separately, maybe on one acre site, for example. This is where it was roadside, and it made prices of 200,000 and more for a derelict house, you know, well away from your Galways and your Corks and your Castlebars and Dublins and whatnot, you know, out in rural areas. So it's a high price for a derelict house.
And that was Paul Mooney, news correspondent with the Irish Farmers Journal. The Donegal Blackface Sheep Breeders' sale of in-lamb ewes and dry hoggets in conjunction with the Broca, Perth and Sleeve League Sheep Breeders' sale will be held at Broca Clohan Co-op Mart on Saturday week. That's February the 15th at 12 noon. And a reminder to farmers that applications are now being taken for the 2025 Traditional Farm Buildings Grant Scheme, funded by the Department of Agriculture and run in partnership with the Heritage Council. It encourages investment by farmers in the conservation of traditional farm buildings and structures of significant heritage value. The scheme will close on March the 10th. And a grant award will cover up to 75% of the cost of the works, with a maximum available grant of €30,000. Finally, the Department of Agriculture has published its National Catalogue of Agricultural Plant Varieties for 2025. There are more than 100 different potato varieties included. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. If you want to contact the programme, you can email me at farmingdonegal@gmail.com. Until the next time, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.